one of the most important midos that we have is hakaras hatov, is recognizing, appreciating when somebody does anything good for you. Very important mida. In the Los Angeles community, we owe Rabbi Goldberg a tremendous amount of hakaras hatov for all the amazing things he does with our children, for the community in general. But this afternoon, I'd like to recognize two more aspects. Might be minor to you, but it's major to me. That is, last Sunday we had a general shul meeting. Knei Nahor was wonderfully attended by the members of the shul. And I look around and Rabbi Goldberg is sitting in his, I like to say, his regular space. We all know Rabbi Goldberg, unfortunately, lives on the other side of town. I won't get into that. So I asked Rabbi Goldberg, why are you here? And, you know, you can't imagine how busy a menahel of a school is. So I asked him, why are you here? You have so many things to do. So he said, well, it said on the emissaries, it said on the email that the meeting is for general members of the shul and people who have special interest in the shul. So he said, I have special interest in the shul. So here I am. So that special interest, in order to have special interest in the shul, sometimes you have to do things beyond the call of duty. And without getting into details, there was, people are probably wondering, Rabbi Goldberg for years has been, had the slot, has been mechabedos to have the slot right after Kinos. It's already after Chatzos, we already dav Mincha. So Rabbi Goldberg is not in his regular slot, quote unquote regular slot. The answer is there was a mix-up. And, you know, the way things are, especially in a shul, an all-volunteer shul. So that's there was a mix-up. And so I called Rabbi Goldberg and I said, you know, we already got Rabbi Graydon for your slot. Would you be willing to take the later slot? And we all know it's later, you know. It's a relative, I'm not saying it's easy. I want to give you all credit for being here. But to listen to a shir is one thing. To give a shir when you're fasting, along with all of the other things you have to do, is much more difficult. And Rabbi Goldberg readily agreed to take the later, more difficult slot. So I would like to publicly thank him for both of those. And as we now slip into, if we were successful this morning and got you to a place you're supposed to be, understanding, recognizing what Tisha B'Av is all about and the Churban and the destructions on its various levels are all about, it's very difficult to have a nechama. But all of a sudden now we have the parochas back on. You're sitting in regular chairs. You can see a little better. So it's a tiny, minute step in the chama. How is that possible? How do we get off the floor? It's a very difficult thing to do. How do we get up? So for that, we're looking towards a beautiful Dvar Torah by Rav Goldberg.
Thank you, Rabbi Samras. I would like to express my hakaras hatov to Rabbi Samras for again giving me the opportunity to be here. In his elucidation of the kinos this morning, taking the time and the effort and the emotion to remember Rabbi Chait, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, our Rebbe. And is not from Rabbi Chait, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. But I hope it would be something that would be motzei chen be'enof, that he would appreciate, and I think it is. And I have just one other correction to make, and that is that the fact that I'm speaking in this slot was not due to a mix-up. It was due to the fact that I was originally planning on being in Eretz Yisrael for the yard site of Rabbi Chait, and my plans changed, which made me available, which is why Rabbi Graydon had been approached for my slot. So I just wanted to make it clear that it was absolutely no mistake, you know, on the part of the shul, but just a scheduling change that happened on my part. So especially under those circumstances, I was happy to be able to accommodate. And usually I don't fast particularly well, but maybe in the schus of having to speak at 2:30, so I'm feeling better than I usually do at 2:30. So yeah, I'll thank you for that also. Many years ago, I've heard this over from Rabbi Orlowick, one of my teachers, and it happened many years ago during the life of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who was the Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was the Mir Rosh Yeshiva. And Rabbi Orlovich said that he one time attended with Reb Simcha Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik L'Vrocha, a shmuz from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. And that shmuz was during Parshas Pinchas. And Pinchas is, of course, the quintessential kanoi. He is the zealot, the person who doesn't stand by and tolerate injustice or lack of godliness, but is willing to take a sword in his hand and to see that justice is served. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz spoke on that parsha, and it was a famous shmuz from Reb Chaim, and he said a rule, klal, which was that rov kanoyim, that most zealots live a lie. Most people who are zealous for a particular cause, they sound like they're zealous for the cause, but they really have ulterior motivations, other things, more personal things, which are inspiring them. And the point of Hishmuz was to say that to be a zealot, a person, it's a rare individual who's capable of doing that, to be a zealot, an extremist. And most zealots live a lie. So Rabbi Orlovich said that following the Shmuz, his Rebbe, Reb Simcha Wasserman, Zichrono Livracha, went up to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. And he said that he wanted to share with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz something that Reb Simcha had heard from his father, from Reb Elchanan Wasserman, Zichrono Livracha, Hashem Yinkom Domo. And he said that Reb Elchanan had asked the question about why it is that we find that certain things are written in the form of an olive base. Sefer Eicha is one of them. A much more common one, which we say three times a day, is the Perek of Tehillim of Ashrei. It's written in the form of an olive base. So Rabbi Chanan said that one of the reasons people write something in the form of an olive base is because it helps to keep things organized. Another reason, though, that people write things in the form of an olive base or number, a list, is because it's not just an order of preference or importance, but it's a seder hadavorim. In other words, if you're following a book of instructions which are numbered, you have to be sure that you do the things which are number 1 and 2 before you do the one which is number 22, 23, or 24. Numbering or lettering a list not only shows priority, but it shows kedima. It shows what needs to come first in the process. So Rabbi Chanan said the following. There could be certain people who are by nature kanoim. They're zealous people. And therefore, when they read the Ashrei, they get down to the pasuk that says, Shomer Hashem es kol oyhavav, Hashem protects all those whom he loves. Ve es kol harashoyim yashmid, and all of the evildoers he destroys. So you can have a person who says, you know what, in Ashrei, that is my pasuk. When it comes to v'kol harashoyim yashmid, I am a kol rashoyim yashmid kind of guy. I am out there, my purpose in life is to destroy evil. That pasuk was written for me. So Rabbi Chanan said that that's why it comes in letter Shin, which is way down in the list of the Ashrei. If you want to be, Rabbi Chanan said, a kol harashoyim yashmid kind of guy, then you have to be sure you're racham of al kol ma'asov, chanun v'rachum. You have to do everything that it says in the Pesukim in Ashrei before that. And then, if you're mekayim all of that, so then you can get to the point of a kol harashoyim yashmid. You can pick up your staff and you can go about fighting evil. But if a person hasn't established his credentials as an ohev Yisrael and an ohev Hashem, and a person who's a makir tov, and a person who has all of the midos of rachmanis and chesed, which we talked about in the Ashrei previously, and he wants to be a kol rishayim yashmid kind of guy, then one would certainly have to take a close look at his true motivations and come to the conclusion, as Reb Chaim Shmulevitz did, that rov kanoyim, that most kanoyim, are living a lie. That's what Reb Simcha said in the name of his father. I heard recently on an MP3 which was emailed to me, there was a visit to the United States by someone who is known as the Tolna Rebbe, who is a up-and-coming Adam Gadol in Eretz Yisrael, in particular in terms of chinuch. He's a young person, with an amazing education and very well versed, not just in Hasidus, but in Sifrei Musar as well. And he, I heard on this particular MP3, you can't say I heard it on a tape anymore because that's not true, it's not a tape. I heard it via Electron. That he, in speaking about Parshas Pinchas, so he quoted a pasuk in Tehillim that we say every day, that Romamus Hashem Bigroinam, that people have the exalted name of Hashem in their throats, V'cherev Pipios V'yodom, and they have a two-edged sword in their hands, La'asos Nekama B'goyim, to take revenge against all the Goyim, and to go and make sure that the truth is known. Kanoyim, he said, the Talmud Rebbe said, usually have their staff in their hand. Cherev pifios biyodom. They have the name of God in their mouth, and since they're protecting the name of God, so they have the spear is ready. The way he put it was, they leave the house with the spear. Because you never know. There could be something that comes up on the street today that I'm going to have to protest, that I'm going to have to be an extremist about, that I'm going to have to be a zealot about, and I want to be sure I'm prepared. So they leave the house already with the name of God on their lips and their spear in their hand. About Pinchas, however, it says that when he saw the Maisa that he had to have Kanoyas against, so it says, Vayikach Pinchas Haroimach Biyodov, that he had to go at that point and he had to get his spear and then use it to be sure that he performed that act of zealotry which was incumbent upon him to do. He didn't have the spear in his hand. He was not the type of person who's waiting for something to protest. He wasn't a person who's waiting to be harmful, waiting to execute judgment against the wrongdoers in the world. When the time came, he had to do it. And that's why it says that Pinchas he performed this act of zealotry b'soich. He was still b'soich b'nei Yisrael. He still felt all the feelings that he needed to feel as a Jew towards a fellow Jew, and still he had to do it. The Talmud Rebbe says sometimes we find out that there can be a reason that people have to protest about things that are happening. And in Eretz Yisrael, this is more common than you find in America. But there are hafganot, there are protests, there are people out in the street, there are people fighting for justice. And it can happen, he said, for example, that there's been a protest planned, and then the person who's planning on participating in the protest, he finds out that the two sides reached a compromise. Everything worked out. The protest has been called off. So how does he feel? He's ruined. I'm disappointed. I was counting on a protest today. But I'm bringing my spear anyway, because you never know. Hopefully something else will come up. This, in the words of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, and Yibodo L'Chaim Baruchim V'Tovim, the Tolna Rebbe, is the way that people usually look at being a kanoi, being a zealot, or being an extremist. It's a pejorative. It's something which is negative, and in fact, most times it is. A proof to it is the fact that we see that Pinchas, who was the classic zealot, he needed, as a result of his zealotry, he needed a special bracha from Hashem to avoid the usual consequences that come from zealotry and extremism. Because when a person is an extremist, he rubs against other people. He rubs against all the people who are not as extreme in this particular area as he is. And therefore, people who are extreme and people who rub against other people, when you rub against someone else, you create friction and you wear out. So most zealots don't have tremendous longevity because they wear out. So if you'll take a look at the Mare Makomos that begin with the Pesukim from Parshas Pinchas, it's two sides of the page and I didn't number them. So you'll see the Sephorno, that he brings what it means, the special bracha that was given to Pinchas. In Pasuk Yud Beis it says, V'chein emor hineni, therefore let it be said, hineni nosin lo es brisi shalom. I'm giving as a reward to Pinchas a bris of shalom. What was the bris of shalom according to the Sephorno? The Sephorno says, shalom es brisi shalom mi malach hamoves. that Pinchas would be protected even though he was a zealot, and therefore he needed this special bracha. He would be protected from the Malach HaMavis. He would not wear out. Ke'inyan oseh shalom bimroimov. As we say, oseh shalom bimroimov. Shamayim is a combination of Esh and Mayim. Shamayim, Esh and Mayim together. Those two forces don't usually exist together. So you need to have a special bracha. Hashem, who made shalom bimroimov, who was able to take Esh and Mayim and allow them to live together, to coexist in heaven, hu yaseh shalom aleinu. If he can make those elements live together, so we have a bracha that we hope that he'll make us be able to live together too. Shalom mimalach hamavis. Ki inyan oser shalom bimroimov. Ki amnam hahefsed lo yekore ela besivas hisnagdus hahafechim. The reason that things are worn out and lost is because of opposition, hisnagdus, opposition of hafechim, of things which are opposites. V'zeh amnon is kayim b'pinchas. So he was a kanoi, he was an extremist. So therefore there's going to be opposition. And when there's opposition, there's hefsid. And when there's hefsid, when there's loss, there's malach hamavis. So he got this special bracha, even though he was a kanoi, he received the bracha of brisi sholom. As the Sforno goes on to say, v'zehu amnon is kayim b'pinchas. We see that this bracha of brisi sholom from malach hamavis was fulfilled in Pinchas. That he lived to be much older than any other people of his generation, until he merited to serve in Mishkan Shiloh in the time of the Shoftim. And that was certainly a long time after Yehoshua and all the Zakenim of his door. V'kol shekein, and certainly he had that bracha, im haya b'zman yiftach, if he was in fact alive at the time of yiftach, shekosov l'melech b'nei Ammon, b'sheves Yisrael b'cheshbon, u'b'noseho v'chulei. And that was sholos me'os shono. That was after 300 years. U'kfar sipruzal, and Chazal already said, shepinchas lo rosa l'leches oz el yiftach l'hater nidrei. That it was Pinchas who didn't want to go to Yiftach to undo the neder that he made, that the first thing that came out of his house would be sacrificed to Hashem. And when his child came out, he needed a hatorah on that neder. And Pinchas, again being a kanoi, would not go to Yiftach. But he was alive at that time. V'kol shekein l'divrei ha'omer Eliyahu ze Pinchas. And kol shekein, if you hold that Pinchas is Eliyahu Anovi, v'hu adayin chai v'kayom. In which case, Pinchas is still around somewhere amongst us. Amongst us. That is the conclusion of the usual way that we look at extremism. Most people are making a mistake. They're walking around with spears in their hand. They're people looking for a cause. They're motivated by really their own self-interest and their own nature to be an extremist. And it's not about pursuing justice, and it's not pursuing godliness, and it's not pursuing right and wrong. It's really about pursuing an innate desire that they have. And therefore, if a person's going to be that way, if he's a Pinchas, he's okay. But you see that even a Pinchas needs a special bracha of brisi shalom, because people who are kanoyim, people who are extremists, you rub against other people, you cause that friction and hisnagdus that the Sforno is talking about. And therefore, if we don't watch it, so we can tend to wear out. That's the usual outlook, the usual hashkafa that the Torah has towards being a kanoi, about being an extremist. And it's a negative one, unless you happen to be a Pinchas. I would, however, like to share with you, because I think that we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately. And we do live in a country which, I'll quote something else that I heard years ago from the Talmud Rebbe, that he said, to raise Gedolei Torah in a country whose philosophy is just take it easy is very difficult. When what screams from the streets is just take it easy, just relax, everything's fine, everything's good, you can do whatever you want in the privacy of your own home just as long as you don't hurt anybody. If that's the philosophy of the country in which people live, then even though it might be a little bit radical, but I think that it might be healthy for us to have a small dose of extremism. I think that we won't wear out if we're a little bit extreme. And we have actually, I think, a greater concern that we might just wither away rather than wear out if we don't allow a little bit of extremism in the right amount and the right doses and in the right areas, which would of course be those that I recommend. If we do not allow those to enter our life. And I would not say such a thing on my own, but I have the words of the Chazon Ish behind me. And that is really the majority of what I'd like to share with you this afternoon, is what the Chazon Ish has to say about the virtue of being an extremist. And I would like to use his insight afterwards to give a hesber in a well-known Rambam. So if you'll direct your attention to the Chazon Ish, his language is difficult but beautiful, and I think it's worthwhile for us to spend a few minutes examining it. I also like to just say that I am not claiming to have all of this Chazon Ish figured out yet. In fact, I'm not sure I even understand the very first words of the first line. So maybe you can help me with that part. And if sometime later you have an idea of exactly what he means, I'd be willing to hear, but I do think that even though I have not, this is not the end of my knowledge of the words of the Chazon Ish, we're really something that we're learning together. I do think that even with that being said, I think it's worthwhile sharing. So the Chazon Ish, in the third chelik of his letters, in the letter Samech Aleph, says the following. He says, Kashem shehapashtus v'ha'emes heim shemos nerdofes. Just like pashtus, simplicity. And I think for the sake of understanding, let's use pashtus as it's used in the sense of learning. The simple, clear understanding. Kashem shepashtus v'ha'emes. Just like simplicity and truth are synonyms. Simplicity and truth. Pashtus and emes are synonyms. Kain. Hakitzonius v'hagadlus. Shemos nidofus. So too, extremism and greatness are synonyms. So you can see he has a little bit of a different view. Just like pashtus, just the clear, straightforward, unembellished understanding of the sugya or of life is a synonym for a truthful understanding of Torah or of life. Those are synonyms. So too he says, kitzonius, extremism is a synonym for godless, for greatness. You can't be a godel and not be an extremist. Hakitzonius hi hahishtalmus shel hanose. Extremism is the completion of a particular subject. You can't be complete and be somewhere wavering in the middle. Hadogul mi habenonius, a person who flags himself, designates himself as a benoni, as a moderate, umoes bekitzonius, and he despises extremism. Chelko im hazefanim, his portion is with the forgers. O im chadle tavuna, or those people who are lacking in understanding. That's an extreme position on extremism. The Chazon Ish says, it's clear. He says that kitzonius is completion, and if a person says, I'm a moderate, okay? I'm a benoni, I'm a middle of the road moderate. So he is a person who is not attached to truth, and he's a person who is lacking in understanding. He'll explain. He goes on, im ein kitzonius ein shlemus. If there's no extremism, then you can't have shlemus. You can't have anything completely. What is complete that's only half done? Anything that's complete means it was done to the extreme. Ve'im ein shlemus, ein haschola. Not only that, but if there is no shlemus in the sense of kitzonius, then you don't even have a beginning. And he explains, ki haschola hi bekushias upirchos masmidas. If we want to examine a subject in learning, how do we begin? By taking a moderate stance? And not anyone who's ever walked through a yeshiva. If people are trying to understand something in the morgue, you don't say, I think I might maybe have a mahalik in the Tosfos. I'm not really sure. You know me. Who am I? Not the yeshivas I went to. I know Peshat and Tosfos. You disagree with my Peshat and Tosfos? Do you feel about it extremely? Well, I have an extreme Peshat in my Tosfos. And you fight it out. But if you don't have people who are starting off with opinions, then he says you have no haschola. For hatamimus, when you get to the end, to the completion, he hatartzan acharif, then you have the person who can answer things up with his sharp mind, umechonin davar dibor alofonoi va'al misosok. Then in the end, when you work it out from the extreme opinions, you come to a conclusion which reconciles everything. But you don't get anywhere if nobody cares. You don't get anywhere if nobody has an opinion. You don't get anywhere. It's okay. That's your Peshat. You have your Peshat and Tosfos. I have my Peshat and Tosfos. And let's just be friends. Not the yeshivas I went to. It's war. You know why it's war? Because it counts. Because it means something. Because it's life. It's emuna. It's our Torah. It's reality. It's truth. Ragili manachnu lishmoa michugim yiduim. Chazanish says, in his time, this was written, I would say, in the late 40s, maybe earlier, in Eretz Yisrael. He goes, there are certain known groups, ha-machrizim al-atzmam, who announce about themselves, she'en chelkom bein ha-kitzoniim, that they have no portion with extremists. U'mashirim b'kol zeh li'atzmam, schus Yisraeli ne'man ve'umuna maspekus l'toyra v'dastor. Maybe it's for divrei Torah, it's an abbreviation. So they consider themselves to be moderates, they're not extremists, and they still believe that they hold for themselves some of the schus of a Jew who is an ish ne'man, who has emuna, and he has enough emuna, which is enough for Torah and for Das Torah. Umarshi manachno, that's what they think, that you can be a moderate and you think that you still have emuna. So the Chazon Ish says, Umarshi manachno liatzmenu la'agid min akudas ha-mishpat, well, we can allow ourselves to say, from the Kudas HaMishpat, he says definitively, "Kemoshein ba'ohave chochmo, ahava l'mi'uto." Just as is the case with those who love wisdom, that they don't say, "I have a love just for a little bit of wisdom." V'sina l'rav chochmosa, but I can't stand people who are extremely wise. I only like people who are moderately wise. I don't like people who are extremely wise. Nobody would say that. He says, "Kein ein ba'ohave Torah u'mitzvos." So too, when it comes to those who truly love Torah and mitzvos, they do not have ahava v'amtzius. They do not have love, middle of the road love, v'sina v'kitzonius, and hatred for extremism. Let's think for ourselves. Anything that we truly value in life, do we want it just a little bit? Yeah. Shalom bias. I'm the middle of the road of shalom bias. I want to fight a little bit and then not fight a little. Raising kids, I just want mediocre kids. Even in things which should really not be our values. Yeah. Money. People who are rodef money. Yeah. So they want just a little bit. Any value that a person wants to have, if he truly values it, he doesn't value it l'mi'uta. He's not a moderate when it comes to that value. We need to be extreme, the Chazon Ish is telling us, in terms of those things that we need to be extreme about, and therefore, he says it does not make any sense to hate kitzonius, to hate extremism, when it makes as much sense to hate extremism, as he says, as it does to say, I hate extremely wise people. Midos tovos, I'm into being just, a middle of the roader when it comes to meat. I want to have extremely good meatus. I want to have just like kind of good meatus. I don't want to know how to learn. I want to just like know how to learn a little bit. I don't want to really know how to learn. What do we really value? If we really value and it's really important to us, and he says Torah and mitzvot should be important to us, so where does moderation in Torah and mitzvot come in? Where do you have a moderate approach, a live and let live? That doesn't mean that it's a free-for-all to pick up a spear. But it's not live and let live either. It's not, it's all okay. It means there have to be standards, and they have to be expressed. And there is no contradiction to a person being someone who is an extremist about Torah and mitzvos, and who recognizes at the same time that one of those mitzvos is Ahavas Yisrael, and I'm extreme about that also. There does not have to be a contradiction between being extreme about Torah and mitzvos and extremely loving the person that you're trying to help along. What's not okay, according to the Chazon Ish, is to have the attitude of, it's all okay, just take it easy. As long as I basically have a place to daven, and I have a roof over my head, and everything is basically okay, I don't have to worry about this other stuff. I don't have to say anything, I don't have to do anything, I don't have to grow, I don't have to push myself, I don't have to push others, I don't have to make a stand, I don't have to be involved. Not okay. The speech that I was going to give on Tisha B'Av last year, but was, I spoke to Rebbe Hespit about Rebbe Zichrono Livracha instead. One of the things that I was going to mention is that one of my concerns about young people these days is that they don't really care about anything. And it's one of the dangers of giving them electronic devices. I called that speech iPod plus iTouch plus, there was no iPad then, that came out recently. Now I added iPad. iTouch, iPod plus iTouch plus iPad equals I don't care. The Gemara says, Haroa sota v'kil kula yafrish esatzmo mina yayin. If you see a sota in his destruction, then a person should go ahead and take a step, and he should say, I'm becoming a nazir. I can't drink wine because that'll bring me to, it could bring a person to do very, very inappropriate things. It could wind up like that sota. By the Meraglim, it says that Hanu Rishoyim, these Rishoyim, ro'u v'lo lochu musar. They saw what happened to Miriam when she spoke Lashon Hara, and they didn't take musar, they didn't learn. Rashi calls them Rishoyim for that. Because they saw something and they didn't learn from something. They said, okay, that's for them. It's not for me. They were moderates. So I worry about our young people. Are they involved? Do they know, even politically, do they know what's happening with Jonathan Pollard? Do they know what's happening with Rubashkin? Do they know what's happening in our own country? I think I saw an excerpt from the Chafetz Chaim video. Are they aware of what's going on in the world? I remember at 13 or 14 years old in El Paso, Texas, marching for Soviet Jews. If we were to bring about something like that nowadays, so your average kid would say, Soviet Jews, Rubashkin, Jonathan Pollard, the situation for Jews in Arab countries, the situation in Eretz Israel. Just a second, Mario's about to get to the next level. Don't bother me. Nobody cares. It's one of the problems with these devices that make children feel that they have to be entertained 24/7 or else they will be bored, which is a capital crime. My son should be bored. So you know why they're bored? Because they every single second of their life they have to be, they're doing something. But all shtuyot. Care about something that's really valuable? Just a second, I'm about to get to the next level. Haroa sota b'kil kula? I didn't look up. Which maybe in Los Angeles is a good idea. But I didn't look out, and I'm too focused down. And if we were people who believed in evolution, which we don't, so I would suggest that the only part of the human anatomy which would be evolving would be the thumb. That's it. It used to be when you said a person was all thumbs, that was like an insult. Not just means he can text faster. Yeah. and he can play faster on his game. You know, if we start seeing people, you know, occasional people being born with an eye here so they can drive and read their text messages at the same time, then you'll know that maybe there is something to evolution. The Chazon Ish is telling us that you need to, you care about Torah and mitzvahs. You got to be aware of what's going on. You can't live in a shell. You can't just not care. If you're a Ben Torah, if you're a Bas Torah, if you learn, then you have to care. A moderate about things that are really important. I'm a moderate. Where's that in Torah? So he goes on to say, Kol Yesodei HaEmuna, all the fundamental principles of our belief. Yud Gimel HaIkarim, the 13 fundamental principles. V'hamestayefim, and everything which branches out from those principles. Hematomid. Bastira nimrotza im hamuskolos hakolos v'shetef achayim hamefusochos tachas hashemesh. Emuna is always in conflict with what you find on the street. Everything that's developing in society and in civilization around you, count on it. Our emuna, our yud gimel ikarim, are going to be in conflict with that. V'hakorosom habehira hametu retzes, v'hamoshita davkanus yaseira be'emunosam, and our clear recognition of what we do believe in, and be able to draw proper conclusions about how we should be living our life, which extend with a sense of davkanus, specificity. Davka, it has to be this way. A davkanus yaseira be'emunosam. An extreme dafkanus in our emuna, he noam hakitzonis. That's the pleasantness and that's the beauty of being an extremist. I'm extreme in my emuna. Therefore, I care. I care about ideas. I care about what's happening with Jews in other places. I care about what's happening with Jews in Los Angeles. I care about all kinds of things. I care about raising money so that institutions can have the ability to continue to be Marbitz Torah. I care about supporting things and doing things. I don't live in a shell. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. You know, if it doesn't work out in this shul, I'll go to another shul. If it doesn't work out in this school, I'll go to another school. If it doesn't work out with this thing, I'll go with that thing. It's all good, man. It's all good. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that if the Goyim knew the effect of the ringing of church bells on Jews, they would ring them all day long. Just ringing the bells. So do you think that in our society there's not the equivalent of the ringing of church bells? Do you think we're not inundated with these crazy philosophies and ideas always which permeate us, the most nefarious and dangerous of all of them being, it's all good? It's a saying now, it's all good. I get that one mixed up with my bad. It's a modern way of saying my bad means it's my fault. So sometimes I get, you know, my bad convoluted with it's all good. And I say, like, you know, it's my good. It's all bad. I realize I'm not with it. It's not all good. It's not all good. I suggest that it could be in El Paso, Texas, which was not a bastion of Yiddishkeit. There were more Jews who cared about things than there are in many places which are bastions of Yiddishkeit around the world. What was the difference? It was 30, 40 years ago. And what we've learned over 30, 40 years is that it's all good. Just feel good. Just take it easy. Don't get worked up. Chazon Ish says you got to care. Ve'elu shemeidim al atzmon. Those people who testify about themselves, shelo ta'amu meseh kitzonis, that they have never tasted the sweetness of extremism, me'idim yacharim zeh, they testify together with this, shehim chad le'emuna. If you never tasted the sweetness of extremism, then you're also testifying that you're of weak belief. Be'ikari adas, of the fundamental principles of our religion. Lefikoch iuni v'regesh nafshi, according to the strength of your mind as it should be and the feeling of your emotions. Because if you were thinking correctly and you were feeling correctly, you would get out there and you'd do something. We'd believe in it and do a lot more than we do. It's just you have some sort of connection to emuna if you're a moderate. V'hakitzoniim, and these extremists, le'emek nafsham, in the depths of their souls. And this is a very important line. Extremists, even though they might have within themselves, and they need to have, not might have, but need to have within themselves, strong feelings, kabir, mighty, lechemla, for compassion on those who are not extremists, who don't have that much emuna, who don't know. It's not about hating them. It's about being passionate and emotional, and also having tremendous rahmanis and love for people who don't know enough to be extremists. Lo yirchoshu kovod v'yakar le'elu ha-misnagdehem. They are not going to allow themselves to give respect or value to those who oppose them. You know why? Because they're wrong. If their attitude is it's all good and it's all okay, it's wrong. And you can't allow it. You have to say something. It doesn't mean you have to be mean. It doesn't mean you can't at the same time be loving. But you can't just ignore it. We can't just say, it's okay with me. My institution's doing okay. My life is going okay. I have a parnasa. My kids are turning out okay. So leave me alone. There's a whole world out there. It's true, there's a tshuva movement, but we're still losing, I don't know, 80%, 90%. And the only reason, really, why we're not bringing back everybody is money. If money would open itself up, there are a lot of intelligent cadres of intelligent, dedicated B'nai Torah who are ready to go out and pick up the cause. But who's going out and telling people that they got to give up their money? The reality is that there's enough money sitting in foundations within 5 square miles of where we sit to take care of every need of every institution and every Jew in the city of Los Angeles. I'm not saying that you have it in your pockets, but it's there. People need to scream about it. People need to do something about it. If everything's okay with you, that's great. Now you have to go out there and try to see what you can do to help other people. And we're not going to get motivated and excited about it unless we're extreme, unless we really care. As long as we're moderates, so we'll be moderately successful. If we're extremists, we can be extremely successful. Somebody once asked Reb Chaim Brisker why it is that there are so many people who were really, really great in business, and there's not so many people who were really, really great in Torah. So the answer I heard that he gave was, it's because those people in business, they believe in what they're doing. They have total emuna in their business, and therefore they achieve great things. But us, do we really believe in Torah? We're moderates. So we have a moderate amount of time for learning, and we have a moderate time for working on our mitzvos, and we have a moderate time for teaching other people, and we have moderate time to try to raise money for other mosques, and we have moderate this and moderate that. Whereas the guys who are the Bill Gateses of the world, he believes in Microsoft. And look what he did. Not only does he have a foundation with $50 billion in it, but look how much money he generates for the world. That's one person. So many people's life and income is dependent on this one person's idea. Why? Because he believes in Microsoft. And we, moderates, live and let live. Don't get worked up. Easy does it. It's America. It's Southern California. It was Texas too. But it was in Texas 40 years ago. Or even in Texas, people got worked up more than people do now. People who should know better. Fahato. V'hatahom hamafsik b'neihem. When you have people who are willing to speak out, it's going to open up a chasm. It's going to open up a divide. Kasher nifgash b'ma'asim b'mashi'im ha'mechulolois b'hechrech tivan meribos v'ketotas. So you see people doing wrong and you really care, you're going to say something and you're going to have the answer to a question that was asked here in the 1990s by a particular citizen of Los Angeles, which was, why can't we all just get along? You know why we can't all just get along? Because we care. And you know what? I love you, but you're wrong. I care about you. Let's sit down and work it out. But you are wrong. And I've got to convince you that you're wrong. Because your life is at stake. It can't just be live and let live. But when you have those disputes, so it can open things up. But Yosef is a crawler in Marpe. And it can make a chasm sometimes which is so vast that it can't be bridged. Some of the situations in Eretz Israel are like that. But one of the reasons you have those situations in Eretz Israel is because it's a place where people care. And I tell a story that when Mrs. Goldberg was expecting our oldest child, we went to pick up my mother-in-law, Leila Shalom, at Ben-Gurion Airport. So my wife was already past due, and we were riding in the bus. And as we were going down the aisle in the Egged bus, my wife tripped. So she didn't fall, but she stumbled. So when she stumbled, and she looked like she was more than 9 months pregnant, so everybody on the bus started yelling at her. Maitach, at meshugat. Don't you know that you're pregnant? Don't you know you're 9 months? What's the matter with you? Can you be taking a bus ride when you're in a state of pregnancy? They were yelling and screaming at her. Would that have happened in Los Angeles? In Los Angeles? Oh, it's okay, man. We're fine. All good. In Eretz Israel, they cared enough to scream. It wasn't polite. It's not nice, you know, pregnant lady to yell at her. But you know why they screamed? They screamed because they care. Sometimes people scream because they care. Is it nice to scream? It's not nice to scream. They should have said it nicely. Are you sure you're okay? Do you have your doctor's permission? They shouldn't have been yelling and screaming at her about being on a bus. Zalo yafet. That's also not nice. But I would rather be in a situation in Eretz Yisrael where they're screaming than to be in Southern California where they wouldn't even notice because Mario's about to get to the next level. I'd rather be with the Kitzonim. I'd rather be with the people who care. And therefore he goes on to say, Habinoni is moderation. Sheyesh lo zechus kiyum. The only moderation that will have, that will be brought to fruition and exist, it's only moderates who appreciate extremism and are waiting for the day where they can be extremists too. And I'm probably going to lose some students as a result of this. And for those who educate their children to the highest elevations of extremism. Aval mal aluva habeinonis hasoenes buz lekitzonis. But what a rachmanis it is, how terrible it is. A beinonis, a moderation that hates kitzonis. Children need to be taught to care, to look around, that there's more important things than their cell phone, there's more important things than their computer game, there's more important things than the text message. There's more important things than their grades. There's more important things than what college they're going to get into. There's something that's called emuna and Torah and mitzvos and learning and midos tovos, and you have to be extreme about it. You got to pick up your eyes and you have to look and you have to see. Roa sota bikil kula? Well, I didn't see it. I didn't know that. Something happened. You know the stories in the newspaper now, people who are texting, they walk into manholes. Forget about texting and driving. It's such a classic. They're texting and walked into a manhole. That says it all. United States, 2010. You don't know whether to laugh or cry. But children need to know that there are things to be extreme about. You can be extremely polite while you're telling that person that's not right. That's not the way we do it in our family. I know that every other second grader has a cell phone, but in our family we don't have them. I'm extreme about it. You gotta see what's happening. I know that the latest is to, walk around, hope I'm not looking anywhere, with these kind of leggings that have a skirt thrown over the top of them. And that's why people walk down the street. So, I don't know, when I lived in Eretz Israel, that's the way the Arab women dressed. Pants and some long thing over them. Tznius, you need to be extreme. Tznius. That doesn't mean if somebody's not tznius that you pick up your sword. But standards, things matter. If you want to dress that way in your house, it's one thing, but to go into a yeshiva, into a public place, standards that people need to have. Things matter. It's not all good. It's not all okay. Some things are wrong. And if they're not wrong now, they lead to things which are wrong. It's off my topic. That's kind of on the topic where I started. The Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael said at the Torah Masorah Convention this year that the big problem with cell phones is not that they hook up into the internet and all the things that can be seen, or all the messages that could be texted. You have to know that if you have a child who has a cell phone that texts, you have opened him up to a whole world that you don't even want to know about. There are dirty joke text groups. You have opened them up to something that they don't need to be. But you know what? That's not the worst part of cell phones. You know what the worst part of cell phones is? Is that we become addicted to being distracted. Okay? And I'm not like a phobe about electronics. I wear a BlackBerry. But it's addictive. I admit it, it's addictive. When it has that pulse on vibrate, so if I don't want to answer it, I have to will myself not to answer it. That's called an addiction, I think. If I have to consciously say I'm not going to answer it, that means I'm addicted. Uh-oh. And you know what? It doesn't even have to be that. The Gemara says that Reb Preda had a Talmud. He had a Talmud who was not a very good Talmud. His Talmud, he had to teach him everything 400 times before he could learn anything. And he was a very dedicated Rebbe, he taught him. One day, Reb Preda had to go to a chasana. And that day, his student couldn't learn at all. So he asked his student, what happened? How come you can't learn today? So the student said, listen to this. His student said, you know why I can't learn? Because I keep thinking, in another second, Rebbe's going to leave. In another second, Rebbe's going to leave. The student knew he had to go to the chasana. So he goes, in another minute, Rebbe's going to go. In another minute, Rebbe's going to go. You know what that means? That even just knowing that you're going to be distracted makes you distracted. You hear? Once you know you could be, you already are. So Reb Preda went back and he taught him the next day 800 times. And he got the time back. Hashem let him live to 120. And he forgave all the sins of his generation. So it's a story with a happy ending. For Reb Preda. For us, what's the big deal? My son needs to have a cell phone because that way I can know where he is, at all times. Right. We got to think about what we're doing. I don't know what you're doing. And we got to care. We got to care. There's a lot of Jews suffering. There's a lot of standards that need to be raised. There's a lot of money that needs to be raised. There's a lot of people who need to be makuruv. There's a lot of Torah that needs to be learned. There's a lot of Avis Yisrael that needs to be spread. There's a lot of Simus Chinum that needs to be destroyed. There's a lot of people who need a Rebbe who they can follow. There's a work to do. Anybody here think there's not work to do? So how come there's so many people? How come there's a Fortune 500 and there's not a Rabbanim 500? So Reb Chaim Brisker said, because they believe and we don't believe. That's uncomfortable. But it's true. Because if we really believed, and we were extreme in our belief, which is what the next page was about, which I'm not going to get to. If we really believed, we'd have a lot more people in the Rabbis 500. There'd be a lot more Bar Bitzei Torah 500. There'd be a lot more yeshivas. There'd be a lot more Jews who know what they're talking about. There'd be a lot less intermarriage. There'd be a lot more chesed and kindness. Even that there is already, it's wonderful. But there'd be a lot more. Because we would know we have to be successful. We'd have to have a drive. And we would be proactive. And it wouldn't be, it's okay for me, it's okay, leave me alone. Leave me alone. It's all good. I'm usually not a pessimistic person. You can ask anybody who knows me. I'm pretty optimistic. On Tisha B'Av, I allow myself to be a little bit pessimistic. And this is a problem. But I'm optimistic that one way or another, that the right type of extremism will take hold, that people will once again wake up a little bit and start to care about things that they can do something about, that they'll step outside of their own lives and their own comfort, even if they live in Southern California, and they can follow the Chazon Ish's direction. It's true, most Kanoim are living a lie, but we don't have to be that kind. We can be the nice, kind, gentle. We'll be the Kanoi, we'll be the Kitzoni, the extremist of the new millennium. The Southern California style extremist. Which means we'll be extremely nice about the things we're extreme about. We can do it our way and the right way. But we're never going to get anywhere if we don't care. And I think really, Tisha B'Av, that's what the day's about. We gotta care. We gotta care on the inside. We gotta care about our families. We gotta care about our shul. We gotta care about our school. We have to care about our city. We have to care about the United States. We have to care about Jews around the world. There's plenty of people to care about. There's no time to waste on Mario. There's just not. Too much to do, too little time to do it. But with Hashem's help, we can be Matzliach.
Yashkoach, Rabbi Goldberg, thank you very much. And I'd also like to thank the Kirschberg and the Schenker families for sponsoring Rabbi Goldberg's beautiful Dvar Torah. The first Chavos Chaim Heritage event video will be in a few moments.